You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Mix of sun and high clouds with a high of 60 and a low of 49. And for Sunday, we'll have a shower in the morning followed by partly cloudy skies, a high of 64 and a low of 42. Current check of the financial market shows the Dow Jones Industrial is up 258.65 to 17,427.26. The NASDAQ is up 72.86 to 4911.81. S&P 500 is up 29.86 to 2048.51. Oil is up 36 cents to $45.56 per barrel. And gold down $1.50 to $1,165.60 an ounce. Well, as I mentioned, just a gorgeous day out there after the show. If you can get outside and enjoy a little bit of that, soak up some vitamin D. Just a great day to be outside. Now, during every program, I try to catch you up on what's been going on during the previous week. So let's just jump right into it. First of all, construction update at Crown Trophy of Flemington. Man, we are getting closer. I have a drop-dead deadline of November 1st to reopen the showroom. The last coat of paint is going on today. Then we're going to have to wash the floors about 30 or 40 times to get all the dust out of there, throw in the new base molding, finish some electrical work, and then start moving the furniture back in. But as far as the painting, the big ticket item, that'll be done today. So looking forward to finishing that. Big news yesterday came out of Washington, D.C. Joe Biden has announced that he is not running are not going to seek the nomination as a Democrat for President of the United States. So now it really comes down to Hillary, Bernie Sanders, and any of the other three who may try to make some gains after last week's debate. But really, I think this is going to help Hillary's position. Some people are arguing this could help Bernie Sanders. It just depends on where Biden supporters find themselves. Tonight, very excited. This is something I do every year. I'm going to be the host and the MC of a dinner at the Ryland Inn. This is for the Resource Center of Somerset. This is an abused persons shelter. I used to say abused women's shelter, and I've been corrected because men can also be victims of domestic abuse. And the dinner tonight is to raise money for the Resource Center of Somerset. So looking forward to getting out there tonight and hopefully raising a lot of money. And then, of course, there is this.
Meet the Mets, step right up and greet the Mets, bring your kiddies, bring your wife, guaranteed to have the time of your life.
Who would believe that the New York Mets since the year 2000 are making their first appearance back in the World Series, and they'll take on either the Kansas City Royals or the Toronto Blue Jays, depending on the winner of the next game. But the New York Mets, the Amazons, are back in the World Series. So even though I'm not particularly a Mets fan, I was back in the days of Tom Seaver and Ed Cranepool and all those guys. It'll be interesting. At least now I have an interest in watching the game. So all good, and congratulations to the New York Mets on their trip back to the World Series after a 15-year layoff. So great job to the Amazons. And also want to say hello. I know I got a posting on Facebook today, but I do want to say hello to someone who's listening, a customer of ours who said he's going to check out the show. So Joshua's Landscaping, Joshua Burke, thanks for joining us on the show today. And ladies and gentlemen, if you do need an excellent landscaper, somebody to take care of the property for you when you don't really feel like it, give Joshua a call. He does great work. And the cool thing is he just moved in about two blocks away from me, so I get to see his work. It's like his property is a showroom for me, because I get to see his work firsthand and some of the improvements that he's making at the house and including a split rail fence that he put up last week. Just a great job and a great kid. So hopefully, if you need landscaping help, you'll give Josh a call. Now, of course, it's time to jump into our weekly program called Taking Care of Business. And glad once again that you could join us. It's 12:06. And there were so many good topics. In fact, when I was leaving the store today, my staff said, well, what are you talking about on your show? And I said, really, there's so many good topics. I'm not sure what I want to talk about first. But I think we're going to start out in sales, because the one question that seems to keep coming back to me time and time again, you know, we talk about customer service here, we talk about marketing and things like that, but I think sometimes people forget that sometimes you really have to just make the sale. So I found a great article on the 6 tricks of excellent salespeople. I thought I'd share that with you and then see if maybe this can help either yourself or your staff in how you can hopefully increase your sales. Now, what separates the superstar salespeople from the pack are a couple of tricks, a couple of tactics that they use to help them close the deal. Selling should be part of every small business owner's job description, and whether you're the sole salesperson at your business or managing a team, here are the 6 tactics that excellent salespeople may rely on to close the sale, and 6 little tricks to help you make each tactic work for you. Number one, and this is the one that I think most people fail at, is asking for the next step. Now, whether you're asking for an in-person meeting or for the close, an exceptional salesperson can likely move every interaction with the prospect forward. Don't end an interaction in defeat by admitting that the prospect doesn't want what you're selling. Instead, consider proposing a step, however small, to continue the connection with the prospect, such as telling them that you'll send them more information via email. Another trick is don't ask for the sale. Rather, you should assume that it's already been made. For example, you could say something like, what color would you prefer, or which plan works best for you, the monthly or the quarterly servicing? By implying that the person has already decided to buy, you may be able to increase your chances of closing the sale. And no matter how good you get at sales, don't assume that you know it all. Read books, take courses, and observe how other successful salespeople do it. Number 2, you want to sweat the details. Excellent salespeople are prepared for any eventuality. Now, although they seem spontaneous and unrehearsed, in reality, they don't just wing it. Learn all you can about prospects before you engage with them. Now, thanks to social media and the internet, there's likely no excuse for not gathering this type of intelligence information. But don't limit your research to what you can find online. That's the lazy approach, and exceptional salespeople aren't lazy. Dig around by asking everyone you know and keeping your ears open for gossip, news, and other insights. Now, when making sales presentations, you should expect the worst. So plan for everything that could go wrong, from a power outage to a computer crash, and be prepared with a backup plan for how you'll handle it. Spare cables, extra batteries and chargers, and presentation printouts can be your friends here. I will never forget the time I was doing a presentation, and it was maybe a 15-slide PowerPoint to back up what my context of the speech was going to be. And sure enough, we get there. I have some of the highest-ranking executives of the company that we're making this pitch to, and nobody can figure out what's wrong with the computer. We wasted maybe 10 or 15 minutes. I said, gentlemen, let's move this forward. And I had enough copies of the printout slides that I just handed everyone. I said, let's just follow along. So you miss the glitz and the glamour of the high tech, but at least the message was able to get through, and we didn't lose the appointment. The third trick is follow-up. Now, extraordinary salespeople know that selling to a customer once is no big deal. What matters is selling to him or her again and again, what we call retention. Now, ordinary salespeople forget about the customer after the sale, but extraordinary salespeople know that's when the relationship really begins. Always follow up after each sale to assess customer satisfaction, fix any problems, and most of all, establish yourself in their minds as an ally. Follow-up can be a great opportunity to ask for referrals. Make sure the customer is satisfied with your products or services before you ask, then try to get the customer's endorsement. I'm going to tell him you suggested I call. Is that okay? You may not only get the referral, but also align yourself with the customer as a partner in bringing great service to their contact. Just last night in the store, a gentleman who used to do business with us probably 3 or 4 years ago, haven't seen him since, all of a sudden appeared on our doorstep needing to order 4 plaques. And I came from a different room. I didn't know that he had entered. And when he walked in, when he was in there and I finally entered the room, I said, hey, Ed, how you doing? And he goes, you remember me? I was like, well, yeah, I remember you. You had the karate studio. You were doing a karate ministry. And how's your wife doing? What's going on there? You know, is she still working at the hospital? He was so blown away that I remembered that much about him. And then the conversation just went effortlessly after that. Plus, he became interested in some of our additional services like signage and custom imprinted apparel. So that was also another great way to know a little bit about your customer and then help, you know, and then see if that will help you in the process. You, as a salesperson, always need to keep learning. Excellent people, or excellent salespeople, rather, don't just coast through life. They tend to always be learning new things about their companies, their industries, their target customers, and most of all, the art of sales. No matter how good you get at sales, don't assume you know it all. Read books, take courses, and observe how other successful salespeople do it. Do double duty by listening to podcasts or audiobooks while you're commuting or exercising. You can likely learn something new without wasting any precious time that you could be used selling. Great sales programs are those by Grant Cardone. The 10X Rule is a great book from him and a great audiobook that will help you in your sales process. Pretty much anything by Grant will get you off the chair and on the phone and making those calls. Again, I tell people, watch anything by Marcus Lemonis. If you go on YouTube and you can Google Marcus Lemonis, and I believe it's Chase, has a couple of quick videos, and there's some Ask Marcus Lemonis videos. Just take the time. It's going to take you about half hour, 45 minutes to watch some of these videos. They're only like 1 minute snippets, but you get so much great advice in the process that, again, it's just helping you fill your toolbox. And then, of course, my buddy Larry Winget, reading any of his books, particularly it's called Work for a Reason, will be a big boost. He also has another one that applies very much to salespeople. That if you're doing like average sales, mediocre sales, and you're seeing somebody who's doing the higher end of sales, read his book, You're Broke Because You Want to Be. That is a wake-up call for anybody in sales. You also, another one of the tricks is to give 110%. Now, every exceptional salesperson that I've ever met, listened to, or read about has emphasized that the only way to the top is through hard work. Joe Girard, who's a former car salesperson honored by the Guinness Book of World Records as the greatest salesperson of all time, sent out thousands of greeting cards and handed out an average of 16,500 business cards per month during his prime. Exceptional salespeople tend to start early, leave late, and make more cold calls than anyone else. You also want to use technology to automate some of the hard work. For example, CRM systems can set reminders, send triggered emails, and schedule follow-up calls for you. Of course, exceptional salespeople don't use the time saved for a Netflix binge. They use it to sell more. And number six, and this is very important, never, ever, 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 never interrupt the prospect. Now, it's human nature to jump in and finish other sentences to throw our thoughts into the mix. Excellent salespeople don't do this. By listening, they can spot openings that help them get to the next step with a prospect. Get customers talking about themselves. Look for clues to their interests, hobbies, and passions, whether in the form of a school tie, a family photo, or golf clubs in the corner of their office, and then ask them about it. Sit back and listen and gather more intelligence on them. Currently 12:14, you're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100andChamberRadio.com. When we come back, I'm going to tell you about the one mistake you could be making on LinkedIn that you shouldn't be. We'll be right back.
If you're looking to get in front of thousands of new customers, connect with your current customers, you don't want to miss out on the largest business show in Hunterdon County. The 27th annual Hunterdon County Business and Home Expo, coming up on a new date, Thursday, November 5th, in a new location at Hunterdon Central High School in Flemington at the Fieldhouse in Common from 2 to 7 p.m. You surely want to sign up, you surely want to exhibit, something you don't want to miss. Contact the Chamber at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at hunterdonchamber.org.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
This is Megan Jones Holt, the radio host of the Rotary Hour and president of Boxes for You. Why am I a member of the Chamber of Commerce? It can be summed up in one word: opportunities. Opportunities to market your business and yourself.
Hunterton Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Good evening. This is Dr. Blood and my pal Igor. We want to invite you to visit us at the Haunted Village at the Red Mill in Clinton, New Jersey. Come by to have a cup of hot tea with me on October 9th, 10th, 16th, 17th, 23rd, and 24th. Tickets are on sale online at theredmillhauntedvillage.org. The prices are $30 for regular admission and $45 for express pass. Don't forget to scare up a coupon from our local merchants. We hope to have you soon.
Listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Glad you could join us for another edition. Every Thursday we get together for Taking Care of Business, so glad you could join us. Well, before the break, I mentioned that there's a mistake that some people are making on LinkedIn, and it's a pretty bad one. It can be a pretty bad one and can cost you your reputation along the way. Last week, I received two what I would call inappropriate LinkedIn requests. Now, not inappropriate because I didn't know them, but in fact, because I knew them a little bit too well. And what I remembered about them wasn't very good. Now, let me explain a little bit further. Until a few years ago, when I opened up my store, I was a manager with a company, and I had the responsibility of hiring and firing as part of a core part of my job. And when the request from Barbara, which is not her real name, appeared in my inbox, I scratched my head for a moment trying to place her, and then finally I did. Now, the last time I had spoken to her was about 7 years ago when I had to tell her that she was being let go for performance reasons. In other words, I fired her because she wasn't good at her job. But what chutzpah, I said to myself as I deleted the networking request from my inbox. The other inappropriate request, well, that came from a former colleague who was terminating for attempting to obtain prescription painkillers from someone who reported her, and she had promised a quid pro quo. Drugs for a promotion. No, this is not really the kind of person I want in my professional network. But what were they thinking about asking me to network with them through LinkedIn? My best guess is that they weren't, and that each had merrily gone scrolling through the potential connections served up to them, clicking connect at every opportunity. Now, this is very bad LinkedIn behavior. Now, while it's one thing to define friends loosely when it comes to Facebook or followers on Twitter or Snapchat, you want your LinkedIn network to be beyond reproach because, as the old adage goes, you are known by the company you keep. The takeaway here? Think before you hit that connect button. How do you think they'll respond to your request? When in doubt, use InMail to ask if it's okay to connect with them. Number two, don't mindlessly connect with others simply to build a sales prospecting list or any other kind of list for that matter. Bigger is not necessarily better when it comes to LinkedIn. Think quality over quantity. Number three, don't accept LinkedIn requests from someone you wouldn't recommend for a job, because once you click accept, that's often what comes next. Number four, don't send requests to people you don't know. Now, LinkedIn may not be the only thing between you and a bad reputation, but it's worth tending your participation carefully if you are, in fact, looking for the kind of career-enriching connections than the networking service is intended. So, I remember when LinkedIn started, and you would get like, it would show you, you have 10 connections, you have 20 connections. And the big rush, and I remember in the recruiting industry, was how do we get to 500 connections? Who could get to 500 connections the quickest? And, you know, and then they would look at the degrees of separation. You know, you're connected to so-and-so, you know, through the second degree or the third degree or something like that. And it was this big rush. then I had to go back in years later and really call that list and make sure that the people that were in there were people that I really wanted to be in my network. Your LinkedIn account is kind of like your private Rolodex, if you will, where you have to make sure that there's somebody on there or that there's not somebody on there that the whole industry knows is a problem. Even if you found out that through the news that somebody was being investigated, that's a great time to drop that person from your LinkedIn database, because when others can see it and they suddenly assume that you know them or you're friends with them, it could have a bad impact on your reputation as well. All right, here's a question for you. They say money can't buy you happiness, right? We've heard that a million times, especially when the lottery gets up to about $200 million. They say money can't buy you happiness. And I can hear all of you saying to me, shouting at your speakers right now, saying, yes, but I'd like to find out what it could buy me. Well, two Nobel Prize winners have figured out the perfect salary for happiness. Now, last week, Princeton economist Angus Deaton won the Nobel Prize for his research into poverty and development. Now, his work investigates how humanity's overall quality of life has surged in the past 100 years, thanks to global economic advances of tech and healthcare, as well as Asia's incredible economic growth. But he's also dug into the ways that Westerners relate to money. In a popular 2010 paper, he partnered with another legend of behavioral science, psychologist Daniel Kahneman, who won the Nobel Prize back in 2002. Now, according to their study, there is a happiness plateau above an annual salary of $75,000. To arrive at that figure, Deaton and Kahneman analyzed 450,000 responses from the Gallup HealthWays Well-Being Index, a daily survey of 1,000 United States residents conducted by the Gallup organization. The study authors discovered there are two kinds of happiness. There's everyday contentment, or the frequency and intensity of experiences of joy, stress, sadness, anger, and affection that makes one's life pleasant or unpleasant. And then there's also life assessment, or the thoughts that people have about their life when they think about it. Now, money affects each kind of happiness in a different way. Deaton and Kahneman found that everyday contentment increases up to $75,000, but then it actually starts to level off after that. Now, perhaps $75,000 is a threshold beyond which further increases in income no longer improve individuals' ability to do what matters most to their emotional well-being, such as spending time with people they like, avoiding pain and disease, and enjoying leisure, the authors write. But the life assessment column continues to grow with salary. Someone pulling in $250,000 will report higher life satisfaction than someone earning $100,000. Giving people more income beyond $75,000 is not going to do much for their daily mood, but it is going to make them feel as if they have a better life, Professor Deaton said in an interview. Of course, income is relative to the cost of living. That $75,000 salary feels like a lot less in New York or San Francisco than it might in Mississippi or Utah. Deaton and Kahneman's paper leaves us with useful questions for figuring out what happiness means in our own lives, namely, after our material needs are taken care of, who are the people and what are the activities that bring about a sense of well-being? And when we're assessing how our lives are going, do we use our own personal criteria or that of popular culture? And does that even matter? So the big question, listeners of mine, are you happy? And then if you could assess it at where you were, say, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, hopefully your salary has increased along that time, how has that related to the more money you make, the happier you are? Don't forget, you can always respond to these questions on our Facebook page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gannot. Don't forget, you can like that page. We encourage you to do so, and we continue to add new topics and information on the page as well, and then links to past programs so that you can catch up on anything you might miss during the week.
Where are we? When are we?
We're descending toward Hill Valley, California at 4:29 p.m. on Wednesday, October 21st, 2015.
2015?
All right, so that was a scene, and I apologize for the poor audio, but that was a scene from the movie Back to the Future, where Marty McFly and Doc are in the DeLorean, and they're traveling to October 21st, 2015, which was yesterday. So yesterday was known as Back to the Future Day. So the question is, what marketing predictions did Back to the Future Part 2 get right? Now, from wearable tech to intelligence-led billboards, the movie sequel's version of 2015 certainly seems prescient, but Rocket Fuel's Dominic Trigg asks, where was social media and selfies? And as I mentioned yesterday, marked Back to the Future Day, the day that Marty McFly and Doc crashed into 2015. And it might have been set 26 years ago, but we have yet to see these flying cars in our everyday lives, and by no means do we rely on fax machines anymore. But there are many things that got right regarding the marketing technology we know today, including elements of personalization, cross-device, and interactive advertising displays. So here now is the marketing tech that Back to the Future got right. Now, who doesn't remember when Marty walks past the billboard for Jaws 19 and a giant shark hologram leaps out on him? Now, this may not exactly be the case today, but outdoor 3D displays are more commonplace, as are examples such as MNC Saatchi, Clear Channel, and Posterscope's first artificial intelligence-led billboard, which reacts to people who are in its close vicinity. Also think of the, when you talk about 3D displays, think of the Chick-fil-A with the cows up on the billboard painting, you know, that chicken is a great way to have a good party. Marketers must not forget to engage audiences through mediums such as this too. Whether it's on TV, a smartwatch, billboard, or even a refrigerator, every screen is an opportunity to connect with consumers. Another thing the film has in abundance is the use of wearable tech, from high-tech glasses to interactive clothing, such as police hats that can flash messages and Marty's talking jacket. Today, smartwatches are already a consideration for marketers, but soon other smart device accessories such as Google Glass, Microsoft's HoloLens, and Oculus Rift virtual reality headsets will also need to be incorporated into future campaigns as they will become more commonplace touch points to reach consumers. Augmented reality is something marketers cannot ignore. People will soon be able to shop or buy via such experiences, and these avenues should be leveraged as they offer greater customer engagement. Robotics also featured highly in the film, such as high-tech rubbish bins that followed pedestrians, robot car mechanics to attend to hover cars and drones utilized by news stations. None of this is too far away today as the field of robotics continues to advance in multiple industries, including marketing. For example, integrating artificial intelligence-based platforms within marketing strategy enables automated machine learning to bring us as much knowledge as possible about customers' behavior at any given time on any given device. The marketing tech Back to the Future missed? Well, there's a few of them. One thing the film didn't hint at was the internet, and despite the odd tablet and video call via TV, there was absolutely no sign of it in the movie. In fairness, the World Wide Web was only invented the same year that the film was released, and the term email was not even in existence at the time, but it is so prevalent now that it's hard to imagine a world without the ease of communication that we have today. Think how far Marty and the Doc could have got with the help of Google Maps, SG, and Siri. There was also no sign of social media, no selfies from Marty and Doc. This is yet another element of our daily lives missing from the film's predictions. Social media gives marketers a real advantage, as it means marketing is no longer only a one-way channel. Brands can now engage directly with their audience on a real-time basis. And although at the same time, this multiple device usage presents the marketer with the challenge of not knowing which device will be most effective to capture someone's attention. For example, during a TV show ad break, consumers may be watching, but they also could be on Facebook, on Twitter, on their smartphone, or on a tablet blogging on what they've just seen. But marketers must also understand the opportunities this presents and work with artificial intelligence-led marketing campaigns that learn from the individual's behavior both online and offline. In fact, although the film showcased the use of artificial intelligence, or AI, within the field of robotics, it didn't touch on other capabilities that AI technology now brings us. Despite the presence of smart glasses and some news tablets, there is a noticeable absence of smartphones, which most of us now can't live without. The continuing rise of mobile is a force to be reckoned with, and investing in further marketing intelligence of consumers' multi-device usage will be invaluable for the marketer. Every device, app, social network, and publisher presents another marketing opportunity, and with these new channels comes the capabilities to collect data about the individual consumer, traffic volumes, engagements, and a variety of performance KPIs. And while personalized advertising made an appearance, cross-device usage was missing. This is where automated machine learning really shines. By collating all this information to create user profiles that hold all of this intelligence as AI technology keeps progressing, the right message and creative will be delivered to the right person, over the right channel, at the most opportune moment, and in real time. Technological advantages are moving so fast now, it's hard to predict what technology we'll have to be adapting to in another 30 or so years, but as Back to the Future teaches us, we must not be afraid to try new things and ensure we constantly innovate and adapt to a wealth of new devices and consumer touch products. Now, let's have a little fun. It's your turn to either go back in time or somewhere in the future, where would you want to go? Who would you want to go with? And what would you want to be doing? So let me know on our Facebook page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gannot, and let me know what your thoughts are on either traveling back in time or heading somewhere into the future. Who knows? When we come back, we're going to have 10 questions to assess your motivational skills as a manager. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
This is USA Headline News. I'm Melody Burkett. Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is facing questions on Capitol Hill about the 2012 attack on a consulate in Benghazi, Libya, that killed four Americans.
I'm here to honor the service of those four men. The courage of the Diplomatic Security Agency and the CIA officers who risked their lives that night.
Testifying before a House Select Committee, Clinton says the deaths were deeply painful for the entire American diplomatic community. Clinton noted that she knew and admired Ambassador Stevens and personally asked him to go to Libya. Clinton said diplomats must operate in many places where U.S. soldiers are not located. She stressed that Ambassador Stevens was an experienced diplomat who clearly understood the risks. Committee Chairman Trey Gowdy opened the hearing. Gowdy says the panel wants to know why requests for additional security at the compound were ignored. For the USA Headline News, I'm Melody Burkett.
Turn down that radio!
If you finally decided to address your hearing loss, the MD Hearing Aid Air is a medical-grade hearing aid that costs up to 90% less than traditional hearing aids. Designed by a Chicago doctor, the MD Hearing Aid Air has a sleek, nearly invisible profile. This digital hearing aid incorporates technology and features found in hearing aids costing thousands of dollars. The Air offers advanced noise reduction, making speech clearer and virtually eliminating annoying background noise. Three environmental settings put you in control. You select the best setting for your location. Call 1-800-485-4408. Over 100,000 satisfied customers have already made the call. Call right now for our exclusive 45-day risk-free trial and get free shipping and a year's worth of free batteries, a $50 value. Call MD Hearing Aid at 1-800-485-4408. Satisfaction guaranteed. That's 1-800-485-4408.
You lucky dog, you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join us. And join us, you have been doing for over 4 years now. And I wanted to point this out because back in the beginning of October, we celebrated our fourth anniversary here at Hunter and Chamber Radio. Glad to be one of the, what do you call those, initial hosts of a show here. And, you know, I can remember how when I first got started, you know, although I've worked in radio before, just a little nervous because, you know, I used to say to people, well, where are the cart decks and where are the turntables? And because everything's gone digital now. Really glad that I decided to sign on for a program called Taking Care of Business here at Hunter and Chamber Radio. I think this station has a lot of value to local businesses, both the opportunity to promote your business on the show with some of our hosts. And also some of the advice you get along the way. And I get a lot of feedback from people telling me, hey, that story you did about customer service really hit the nail on the head, and I had to make some changes in my business, or, you know, the story on sales or the story on management. And we're going to keep doing what we do and enjoying it. We want you to listen more often. We want you to encourage others to listen. Hopefully you'll visit our booth at the Hunter and Chamber Expo, which is coming up in just a few weeks. Over at the Hunter and Central High School. But coming up now, and I got to get these in date order because they're all messed up. A couple things to do in the local community is there will be a card club, which is called the Sunny Side Up Card Club. That's going to be held at the Financial Resources Federal Credit Union at 67 Church Street in Flemington. That's going to be on Friday, October 30th from 8 to 9:30 a.m. If you wear your Halloween costume, you could win some prizes there. The Hunter County Chamber of Commerce Card Club, brought to you by Financial Resources. Register online at www.hunterton-chamber.org. Also, there will be an election night card club Tuesday, November 3rd, 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at the PNC Bank, 240 Route 202 in Flemington. Again, pre-registration is required. You can register online at www.100-chamber.org for that presentation as well. And, of course, one of the fan favorites here in Hunterdon County, and particularly in Flemington, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce and the Hunterdon Radiological Associates PA, is the Hunterdon Holiday Parade. So save the date, circle it on the calendar, Sunday, December 6th from 5 p.m. It will star Santa Claus, and that happens right here on Main Street in Flemington. Well, before the break, I told you that I would have the 10 questions you need to ask to assess your motivational skills. Now, motivated teams are the key to success at every business, and yet I still know entrepreneurs and business people who give an inspirational speech to kick off the quarter, but then haven't been heard from since or don't realize that their actions are often more demotivating than inspirational. The result is a huge loss in productivity and morale and potentially the death of a promising startup or long-standing business. Now, in the spirit of continuous learning and improvement, I offer the following questions for a self-assessment of your current motivational habits as a startup leader or as an entrepreneur. And this applies to any manager in any business. Now, number one, has anyone ever accused you of micromanagement or of being a micromanager? Team members need to feel trusted and valued, and micromanaging communicates the exact opposite. Founders who are prone to manage every detail of their business will ultimately kill themselves as well as lose the support of team members. So learn to delegate key tasks and then give credit where credit is due once a project is completed. Number two, how often do you communicate or redirect team priorities? Now, some leaders expect the team to read their minds on priorities, so they never provide the written and verbal guidance that we all need to feel we are contributing. Others can be heard shouting new priorities on an hourly basis. Both habits are very demotivating. Number three, does the team know where you are and why? You can't be an absentee entrepreneur and expect the team to stay motivated. Great motivators are visible at the front and lead by their actions. Hiding in your office or mysteriously traveling all the time on unknown missions are sure ways to cause the focus of your team to disperse as well. Number four, how often do you reward initiative and problem solving? Some entrepreneurs have a bad habit of taking personal credit for all the improvements and innovations at their startups. Now, if you penalize or ignore employee initiatives, you can be certain that they won't be repeated, and motivation for more conventional performance will suffer. Number five, are all team members fully qualified and trained in their roles? Entrepreneurs are perennially short on cash, so they tend to hire less expensive and less experienced team members. Yet most founders are overworked, so they have no time and budget for coaching and training. Team members are not confident in their roles, and they lose the motivation quickly. Is initiative and accountability driven by fear or reward? Recognition in front of peers is the strongest motivator, and berating team members in private or public is the biggest demotivator. So check your use of reward versus penalties, with the negatives including emotional outbursts at no one in particular, a lack of feedback, or veiled threats. Number seven, how often are meetings interactive and productive? Now, if you dread the thought of wasted time in meetings, chances are that your team members feel the same way. Team members are also demotivated by one-way discussions, haphazard participation, and arbitrary decisions. Structure every meeting at the start and summarize them at the end. Number eight, are key milestones set jointly with the team and then maintained? Now, if you have a habit of declaring milestones or changing them based on the crisis of the day, don't expect the team to remain motivated. Similarly, if the team isn't aware of the milestone and the value behind it, they are unlikely to deliver. Communication and buy-in are the keys here. Number nine, are you too busy to relate to team members on a personal level? Everyone needs to hear a personal anecdote once in a while or see you go out of your way to make someone's day. Maybe it's time for a party at your house to unwind or an afternoon off with a team to attend a ball game. Number 10, what have you done lately to proactively enhance individual goals? Now, what if it annoys you when team members ask about their next promotion or talk about their job opportunities in the industry? You have motivational problems in the making. You need to build a habit of proactively seeking employee interest and then suggesting follow-up steps. If you feel qualms about your answer to any two or more of these questions, or if you found this column, this article on your chair, or if it's hitting home to you, if you will, it's time to rethink your focus on motivation. And no matter how confident you are in your own abilities, you can't build and run a business alone. You need your army pulling you ahead rather than holding you back. So some good advice there on the motivators and whether or not you're motivating the right way. With that, you know, we talked last week, I brought out the 10 fears that entrepreneurs had, and I mentioned that, you know, Marcus Lemonis, by the way, The Prophet on CNBC will return next Wednesday, October 28th, with some new episodes. So set the VCR, the DVR, whatever you do to watch television when you're not at home. But look up the listing for CNBC, The Prophet. It'll be next Wednesday night, I believe at 9 o'clock. So make sure that you watch that, because there will be a homework assignment on Thursday. Now, six ways to know that you'll succeed as an entrepreneur. It kind of went with the first fear last week that said the fear of failure. And obviously, the opposite of the fear of failure would be success. But you have to know, and people often ask me, when will I know if I'm a success? Is it a certain dollar limit in sales volume? Is it that I'm making payroll every week? I'm flush with my vendors, things like that. And I think everybody defines success a little bit differently. But perhaps you've heard it many times. People have told you that you'd be an amazing small business owner, or that you should quit your day job to launch your own business. And maybe you've always felt fidgety where you are, and you've wondered if you're destined for something bigger. But the anxiety and the reality of what it means to be an entrepreneur always stood in your way. How are you supposed to know? Well, here are six ways to know that you'll succeed as an entrepreneur. How many of these apply to you? First, you feel comfortable in the unknown. Now, in business, there are countless ways for things to change. An office space falls through, a new design doesn't work like it should, a loan that you expected to be offered doesn't come through. You have to be willing to roll with the punches and say, I've got this, bring it. Number two, you know exactly how much money you have. Whether it's in your checking account, your brokerage account, your 401k, or the cup holder in your car, you know what's there. People who launch their own business don't just have savvy business skills, they have savvy money skills. And this means being comfortable with the money that you have and knowing how to manage it. Number three, you have exceptionally good organizational skills. Now, while a little chaos never hurt anyone, having poor management and organizational skills in business, especially when you're the boss, can spell trouble. Having complete control over your schedule, your personnel, and the flow of your projects, both on and offline, is a huge benefit to running your own business. Number four, you could talk about yourself all day. Now, whether you have that innate ability to strike up a conversation with a stranger in a bar over any topic, or to be put center stage at the last minute to pitch your business, you feel comfortable gushing about you. Self-promotion, in other words. Number five, you are competitive by nature. Maybe it was in sports as a kid, or you have siblings that you always competed with. You like the competitive nature of business. You like being at the front of the pack, maybe even more when there's someone hot on your heels, pushing you to better yourself, and you know that nothing ever feels as good as beating your own personal best. And number six, you know how to listen. The cockiest, most self-righteous entrepreneurs in the world won't get far if they don't know how to pay attention to their most trusted friends and advisors. Now, whether it's a mentor in your field or even a family member whose advice you trust above all others, you know how to take the back seat to someone else's wisdom and listen to what they have to say. You don't necessarily have to take their advice, but taking the time to hear them speaks volumes to the kind of person who you are and the kind of boss you would be. I want to go back to number five there, where it says you are competitive by nature, and I'm reminded of a conversation I had with one of our store owners, and he looked in Hunterdon County and said, well, how many trophy stores are there? I said, I'm the only store, but there are others who make trophies out of their basements, out of their garages, things like that. But as far as Hunterdon County, I'm the only storefront. He goes, well, then you have such an advantage. You have no competition. I said, you don't understand. Even if there were nobody else making any trophies anywhere in Hunterdon County, I would make up competition. I would develop a competitor. I would give him a name, and I would put his sales far above mine so that I had something to go for. Never, ever, ever get complacent with that notion that there is no competition, because right about the time you get that complacent, someone's going to move into your marketplace, whether it's an internet competitor or a brick and mortar competitor, and they are going to run you out of town. So make sure that you are always challenging yourself to do better than before. We're going to step away for our final break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the six signs that you're not cut out for entrepreneurship. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingChamberRadio.com. A beautiful 73 degrees out there, so we got about 10 more minutes, and then I want everybody to just run out of their offices and sit on a park bench and just enjoy the rest of the afternoon and soak up the vitamin D, because pretty soon the clouds will be coming back, the gray skies will be coming back, and the next thing you know, we'll all be wishing for the days of summer and fall when we could go outside. Well, before the break, I mentioned there are six signs that you're not cut out for entrepreneurship. And this is not necessarily the most definitive list, but it is certainly one that if you're thinking about starting a business, going into a venture or something like that, you need to ask yourself. And you really have to have the mirror test in a lot of cases. And now, lots of people want to start a business, but not everyone has what it takes. And the proportion of those who merely want to be entrepreneurs will always be higher than that of the few who actually go out and start a business. The simple reason is that not everyone is cut out for the rigors of entrepreneurship. So you may be thinking about starting a business, but can you? So here are the signs that you're not cut out for entrepreneurial life. If you prefer following orders, now the world is made of followers and leaders. You have to ask yourself, which one are you? Now, if you're committed to being a comfortable order taker for the rest of your life, perhaps entrepreneurship is not for you. If, on the other hand, you feel a twitch of desire to make some decisions and give some orders, well, that may be a spark for entrepreneurship. Number two, you prefer working to fulfill someone else's dream. Now, businessman, inventor, and philanthropist Farrah Gray wrote, "Build your own dreams or someone else will hire you to build theirs. Which do you prefer to do?" Now, you may be content to pour your life and hard work into someone else's dream, and that's fine. Many people find true fulfillment in this pursuit. Parents, for example, are motivated by a desire to help their children achieve their dreams. Teachers give their lives to motivating and prospering a generation of students. Nonprofits exist to rekindle dying dreams. It's not wrong to nurture someone else's dreams, but if you have your own dreams, perhaps you should stop working to fulfill someone else's. Number three, you don't like hard work. Now, entrepreneurship is all about hard work. It's about facing indecision, insecurity, instability, and borderline insanity. There's nothing really pleasant about that. Ironic as it seems, there's a certain satisfaction in hard work. Humans are made for hard work, and hard work has its own reward. Now, it's cliche to say work smart, not hard, but here's the rude reality. You must work smart and hard. Entrepreneurship isn't a bag of smart tricks. It's smart tricks combined with heart-pounding hard work. If you're not into the whole hard-working thing, well, rewarding as it is, then the entrepreneurial life is not for you. Number four, you get along great with everyone in your life. Now take a quick survey of all of your human relationships. Any interpersonal problems, a breakup, a shouting match, an argument? No? None? Okay, that's settled. You're probably not an entrepreneur. As it turns out, entrepreneurs aren't the wide-grinning, back-slapping, glad-handing socialites they may seem to be. Entrepreneurs tend toward the outer fringe of social behavior and cultural norms. Fortune magazine featured this bit of insight. If you want to find the future entrepreneurs in a room full of teenagers, look for the boys who like to break a rule from time to time. And this makes sense when you realize that entrepreneurs are the ones who disrupt industries, chafe against the status quo, and spark a good revolution. Psych Central even reported, new research has found a childhood pattern of antisocial tendencies among entrepreneurs. So if you're sometimes labeled as a nerd or a geek or boring or rude, don't sweat it. Instead, go do what you were meant to do. Start a business or two. Number five, you see everything in the world as being just fine. Now, pushing the pessimistic or optimistic dichotomy aside for just a moment, how do you view the world around you? Is everything fine, or are there a few things that could use improving? Your perspective is a marker of your entrepreneurship tendencies. Entrepreneurs see things that need fixing. They see trends that need changing. They see a world that's not yet perfect. USA Today reported that serial entrepreneurs find new problems to fix because, let's be honest, there's a lot that needs fixing in the world. Elon Musk was someone who wanted to fix the world. He wasn't content with online payment methods, and that's why he launched PayPal. He wasn't content with the slump of space exploration. He started SpaceX. He saw a problem with the reliance on traditional methods of energy. Say hello to Solar City, Tesla Energy, Hyperloop, and Tesla Motors. Look at the world. What do you see? If there's no changes needed, if that's the case, you probably don't see a pressing need to start a business. But if you see problems that need solving and solutions that need inventing, consider entrepreneurship your calling. And number six, if you feel very mainstream and you love it, entrepreneurship is countercultural because contemporary society tends to discourage risk-taking. We conflate protection with progress. The cultural we smiles approvingly at closed environments, safe decisions, sound investments, risk-free assets, and cups that don't spill hot coffee on us. Those are all fine things. But in moments of brutal honesty, we realize that some of life's risk is necessary and good. The mainstream obsession with safety and security tends to denude of its life, natural, and healthy risk. The person who flows contently in the current of mainstream culture is perhaps not the choicest person for entrepreneurial pursuits. Apple's Think Different commercials famously commented, here's to the crazy ones, the misfits, the rebels, the troublemakers, the round pegs in the square holes, the ones who see things differently. They're not fond of rules, and they have no respect for the status quo. You can quote them, disagree with them, glorify or vilify them. But the only thing you can't do is ignore them, because they change things. They push the human race forward. And while some may see us as the crazy ones, we see genius. Because the people who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones who do. Those words inspire entrepreneurs, but the not-so-entrepreneurial among us hardly warrant a second glance. So in conclusion, the beauty of these traits is that they are malleable. Entrepreneurship isn't a you-got-it-or-you-don't proposition. You can cultivate the qualities of an entrepreneurship through sheer will, patient habit, and intense desire. But don't let anything get in your way of living out your dream. If you want it, you can be cut out for it. So just a couple of thoughts there on whether or not you have what it takes to be an entrepreneur. And, you know, I'll let you guys look in the mirror and, you know, before I tell you you can or you can't, I think a lot of times it's up to you to determine whether or not this is for you. And I think one thing that they say in there that is very pressing and very telling is, you know, the bit about hard work. You know, it's funny, as I've been going through this construction process at my store, how many people are saying, well, why are you doing the painting? Well, the gentleman that gave me a quote for the painting wanted $4,000, and I know I can paint, so it makes no sense for me to pay somebody else to do it. Why am I working 15, 18-hour days? Well, we have to get this storefront back open and ready for operation by November 1st. We can be around for the busy season and the Christmas season as well. So hopefully it'll all pay out in the end. Time now to take a look at sports. In NASCAR, Joey Logano won the fifth race in the chase for the Sprint Cup Championship at Kansas Motor Speedway last Sunday, which sets up an all-for-nothing round for some chase contenders this weekend at Talladega. Now, folks, if your idea of racing is crashing, then get yourself some PBRs, get some chips and popcorn, and watch this race, because I can guarantee you that if someone needs a win and they're closing in on the final laps, there'll be a whole lot of wrecking going on. In the NFL, got Thursday night game tonight, but like a dummy, I didn't figure out who it was, so I apologize for that. In the NCAA football pool, the AP Top 25, the top 10 looks like this after some major shakeups last weekend. The Ohio State University holds down the top spot and will play Rutgers University on the banks of the old Raritan this weekend. Followed by Baylor, Utah, TCU, and LSU. Rounding out the top 10 are Clemson, Michigan State, Alabama, Florida State, and Stanford. And, of course, in Major League Baseball, we have the playoffs going on.
What's that? Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
That's right, Jimbo. Jim Mora there. I love that quote, and I think I will use that every time we have some playoffs to talk about. I think that it's just a great summation of what people are talking about when we talk about the playoffs. On playoffs, you want to talk about playoffs? The only thing better than that, I think, is the Allen Iverson. We're talking about practice, not a game. We're talking about practice. So the Kansas City Royals have a 3-2 lead over the Toronto Blue Jays, and of course, the New York Mets have swept the Cubs to advance to the World Series first time since 2000. Or the year 2000. The NHL is back in action, but way too early to start talking about the playoffs there. We'll let that season roll along, and then we'll start talking about divisional leaders. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. And maybe you can use it in your lives as well when he said, "Never let it rest until your good is better, and your better is best." If you have ideas for upcoming programming topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com. Or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGano83, or on Facebook at our new page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano. I am Jim Gano, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
You're listening to HunterdonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.